Many buttons.
Flat chat episode 194, and we were all on time, but we just talked about nothing for 10 minutes. We're here. No one's late.
We're late.
Yay!
Except the broadcast.
We're late. The broadcast is late, but we're all here on time.
Yes, we were all here. So, and you guys can't independently verify that. So you have to take our word on it, essentially.
Yeah.
Which I think is that's so cool.
And now. Yeah. The last 10 minutes of our conversation that we had off air, we'll just have again on air. Exactly.
Well, we didn't really get into it.
The aliens?
The alions.
I
the
think
Mexican
the
aliens.
People that are here are about to leave at a rapid
I will
rate.
Give you 1 minute. Maybe
one
2 minutes.
Minute?
On
that's
one
really,
minute?
Okay, first of all, okay, Solomon, bring all right. up the unboxing video first. Bring up the loot boxes. Bring up the alien loot boxes first.
That's that the
first
sweet
tune
in chronological order.
Oh my
so
god.
They're they had, it is here in Mexico. They unveiled the aliens and they're in these boxes.
I mean, they're like coffins, right?
It's like a little
a coffin's a box.
It's like the
what
alien
is
loot
happening?
Box. Oh my god. And this is not the best angle. The best angle, and they have like forensic scientists and stuff at this, like here. Look at this.
Bro, that's not an alien.
They are saying that it's a 1,000-year-old alien corpse. That they
no,
found.
Yeah, there ain't no way. There's that is a paper mache clay thing that someone did for their like 10th grade like science fair.
They used the chicken fence thing and they like they fucking used the glue, the paper,
and they just stuck that shit together.
Now, Solomon, for the funny perspective, swap to the other tweet link of them picking
one hit
up
of the free spot.
Pick up the other one of them. I'm picking up the core. This is them. Like, but it, like, they're demonstrating the size of the core, and it's like 2 feet tall. It's just got this peanut ass head.
Clara 00.
Oh my god! Like, what?
That's
I mean, what
from.
Is this?
That was what? A human 1,000 years ago. That's where we came from.
There's ain't no way. Like, I mean, like, so here's the thing. I mean, people were saying like they have the X. They did the X-ray on it and everything. Like, there's organs and shit. Like,
what is it? Have they said what it's like made of? Like, is it?
No,
actual?
I don't know. They haven't. The problem is that it's breaking news. Okay, this is some breaking news. I think. Wait, it has a ring on it.
I'll put a ring on it.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't think that maybe that's like bone or something. I don't know. But like either way, like this is too silly. This has to be. I mean, like, we're all in agreement. This looks fake as shit, right?
Oh yeah. No. Wait, what is that?
You know what? I'll believe it.
You'll believe it. You're gonna believe it?
Avril is an alien believer. You can't stop him. Everything.
I don't know
just,
about this.
Oh, so they did
I,
have
this
a
This is
plate.
My first time seeing this. It's stuff I do believe. Okay. I'm undecided on this one. You know what? It's ironic.
See,
that we don't
I'm
object
undi-
for this one.
I'm
Jaws,
actually
Jaws
I'm kind
know.
Of
He's,
I'm in the middle too, Avril.
No, there is no way. There is no way you have even a consideration that this has any validity to
I
it.
I don't necessarily know. I mean, the thing is, they're treating this
really
seriously.
I'm going to trust the forensics. Whoever's doing CSI in Mexico, I'll trust them.
They're treating this really seriously, man. They're like, they're over here like they
the
have
fucking
like doctors.
Mask in the background?
Yeah, like they're.
Oh my god!
This guy's doing forensics. This guy's got a real job.
They did a whole like range of tests on it. Like they have all this like
well,
information.
What's that? What it has an egg inside of it.
Yeah, I think that's maybe an organ.
Joe, isn't this how Alien starts? Isn't this the beginning of Alien?
No,
where
they
cut it open
they
and
find
then something comes out of the
yeah,
egg.
They find the eggs.
Oh, okay.
And then
oh,
the eggs have the face huggers in them, and the face huggers pop up, and they like then implant more aliens inside of you. I'm not necessarily sure that they're aliens, but like I'm sure it could be something that like they just didn't know what the fuck it is. Like it could just be
if I got some moon rocks, like if I got enough moon rocks and I carved a statue that looked like that, that would be extraterrestrial. Like it's not from this earth.
But the thing
you know
is they carbon dated it apparently, and they said it's like 1,000 years old via carbon dating.
So if I got moon rocks that fell to the earth 1,000 years ago and I carved that, it would be ET. You know, it would be from a non-earth origin. I'm saying.
The thing is, it would be a rock. This is like tissue, supposedly.
Is it? Oh.
Yeah, they're saying it's fossilized tissue, not like a rock.
Right. If I just saw a still image, I'm like, that's a statue.
I'm just going to say, if we ever meet, if those aliens are real and we meet them in the future, we wouldn't be able to take them seriously. Like, imagine meeting and they walk out the spaceship.
Doing cosplay.
And they're like 2 feet tall. They land on Earth and like, we're here to meet our leader. And then they all walk out. They're like 2 feet tall. And like, I would like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't be the diplomat to meet the alien life forms, because I would see them.
Can you imagine if you were the diplomat?
Can you imagine if all human
beings? Out of all human beings, why are you the diplomat?
Like, well, just about, I mean, they're just humanity. Like, they're just like, I'm not saying like, I'm just saying in a headcanon situation, if I was the diplomat to alien races, like if their saucer landed down and I watched like 10 2 feet guys walk on out of there, they're walking out with their big old, big ass fingers and shit, I would just laugh so hard. And then imagine like the diplomatic dinner. You're like sitting around the White House with like Joe Biden and shit, and it's like, hey, do you need a booster seat? Like, and you're like pulling up, like you're taking all the booster seats for kids and like just, the high chairs, and you're pushing it up to the table, putting them in there, strapping it in.
Oh, dude, you're just throwing shade at short people. You know, you wouldn't say the shit if the aliens were 10 feet tall.
If they were 10 feet tall, Slenderman looking asses. But if they're 2 feet tall, like, then yeah, that, I mean, like, that's the thing. I think diplomacy for aliens is we're ruined because we couldn't take them seriously. If those are the real aliens near our cosmos, near our solar system, we can't work together. We can't. We're doomed to start a war, like an intergalactic war, because we will not be able to take each other seriously. It won't be possible. And then they'll vaporize me, but I'll laugh.
You know those like cars that a kid can sit in and drive? Give them one of those and they can just sort of roll up.
Yeah. I don't know. I just would like to know, like, what's also the dimension of their world must be insane if there was real aliens. Like, imagine you go to their home planet. It's like, this is our largest building. And it's like this big. It's like that big. And it's like, this is the jewel of our civilization. And it's like a toy dollhouse. They're all just in there.
This is unbelievable. What is happening? This feels like a middle of COVID topic. Like, we are just lost our minds, and they just unveiled it. Like, yeah, there's 2 feet tall aliens.
I want to believe that there are 2 feet tall aliens that were discovered in Mexico. I want to believe.
Mexico government just held them for 1,000 years.
We needed this 3 years ago.
No, they didn't hold them for 1,000. It's not like they've been holding them since the Aztecs. It's not like they've been having them in a vault.
Family jewel pop.
What do you mean?
They found them in like a mine or something. Like, they were underneath many layers of earth, and then they were like dated to be 1,000 years
old. They found them in that condition from 1,000 years ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, if a bunch of mud and shit like fell on you, you're like, no, that happens. Think about like the corpses for like Mount, what's the name? It's not Vesuvius. Is it Vesuvius? I can't remember. The one where all the volcano erupted and everyone like got encased in ash and stuff. It's like pretty similar. Pompeii.
The most well-preserved like Swedish corpse, they found in like a swamp, because it was like preserved in a swamp or something. And let me tell you, I was there to see it. That person looked messed up.
He was there when they unearthed it.
He was there. Johnny's also an alien.
It's on display. Oh, okay.
That's really not what you say when you say I was there to see it.
I was there to see it. Here's their belongings, and like they were hair, like all the hair that was preserved. They looked fucked up. So I don't believe those aliens held up that well. I don't know.
What if they don't have hair? What if they're hairless two feet tall guys?
I mean that tissue. I mean, ain't no
they
way.
They could just be like a kind of like a frog like texture.
Yeah, maybe they have some bog in Mexico where they found them. I don't know.
They do have bogs.
Well, no more in the future years, I guess, about the alien. Everything's coming out now. The year of 2023, 24, the year
of
aliens.
Just you guys wait. We will be laughing when we meet the alien races. We will be laughing.
Yeah, I can't wait for the first press conference when Joe Biden stands there with the alien. Just like,
they have to have a really tiny podium. Yeah. He's got like all the mics, but it's like really small. He's just like, hello, where are they?
Like a translator or something.
Oh my God.
All right. We mostly have the play-ins to discuss this week, but... do you want to bring up the Priestess of Power?
We haven't even talked about the Overwatch cosplay yet. Oh, we're not going to do that, are we?
I don't know what there is to say, Avril.
We have to say that it happened, and that's it. Boom, done.
I mean, do you think there could be a worse figure for someone to like come out of Overwatch and be like, I cosplayed. Like, I think when you think about the current zeitgeist of culture, like, this is a terrible intersection of figures to like be like, we did the Overwatch cosplay. Like, I don't know, like, who else is like more hated currently to where they could come out and be like, I love Overwatch cosplay.
You know what? Actually, this would be way funnier if instead of Elon Musk, it was actually Johnny Depp that asked for it. And this would just have way more depth, you know.
I mean, just, this would just add in so many layers of badness at that point. We'd be adding
it'd
like,
actually,
we'd
be, it'd actually be crazy
if, believe.
If Johnny Depp asked for a different cosplay of a different Overwatch character. Like, he asked for Moira, and Elon asked for Mercy, but they both went the Overwatch direction. And it's just like something about Amber, man. Something about Amber is just.
This is worse than the alien conspiracy.
This is worse than the alien conspiracy.
And Johnny, is worse than the alien conspiracy. You know why it's worse? Yeah. It's because this actually happened. This was real.
The alien thing was real. We just don't know if the aliens are real. They could believe that those paper mache beans were aliens.
True. We did know the cosplay was real.
Like, I mean, like, well, we know that one's real. But, like, I think there's not a very many worse public figures that could do this. I think, like, if Kanye West came out and was like, I love
his current wife.
I love just like doing like cosplays and shit. Yeah, after he just got banned from like Italy for like public sex acts or whatever, he's like I think that like we like that could be pretty bad too. So overall, not.
I think it's quite accurate. Just like Mercy Mane shit the bed in my games, she shit the bed in real life. So it's perfect. I love it.
And on purpose as well. It's through on purpose.
We are so pop culture
recently. So I know
we are so pop culture
build
right now. It's an insane pop culture. God. Quick, someone bring up the video of Taylor Swift dancing at the VMA.
Oh boy. I don't know. I don't know the download on Taylor Swift either of us. So say it now. Say
I mean, there's
no
download.
On Taylor
that's
Swift.
It. She was
all
just,
right.
She was, that's it. She was dancing.
This would only be better if we found out that it was revealed that part of the reason why Joe Jonas filed for divorce is because Sophie Turner didn't want to cosplay Mercy.
Oh my God.
That would be only better.
That would be,
that would be the best
pop culture crossover. Yeah.
Let's take a look at the preseason power rankings. I'm done. We're moving into Overwatch. These pre-episode discussions are getting out of hand. It's getting out of hand.
What was out of hand about talking about little 2-foot alien guys?
Honestly, it was on brand.
Yeah.
I guess that's the brand of Clash Chat right now. All right. We got a long off season. So Maybe we'll do a weekly report by Avril and Joss on the alien news each week.
Neither of us actually found this. It was a vast. That's
the
ironic thing.
I was the one that brought it up.
That's the funny thing.
Yeah, but you know, never mind. Anyway, bring up the preseason power rankings. There we go.
Oh shit,
guys. It's not great.
It's not good
for us.
It's not
great.
Bro, the Gladiators fucking boomed everyone.
I mean, look at the rankings, man. Gladiators actually owned people. Also, look at, like, I will just want to say, just want to put out there, I saved our asses with Mayhem, by the way. Just want to put that out there. Literally saved our asses with Mayhem.
I had him at 4. Johnny had him at 5. You're acting like you put them up higher.
That gives us, look, we got saved by me pushing for another ranking ahead for the Mayhem.
We have one of the worst records in the community.
Do we really? We can't.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna go out there and say this, because I don't think I was a part of this episode. Your Plat Chat Power Rankings had some fucking heinous tanks.
I think we nailed the Apex side, though. If you look at the...
Apex
was pretty
fully
good.
Fucking nailed.
And then, we overestimated Spark, though.
But the thing is, they still ended up making it to playoffs.
But like, they kind of sucked ass this season.
No, I agree.
In comparison to where you think, the reason we put them at number one is because we said that they were like, this is the Chinese super team. They're going to be great. You cannot tell me this season that
no,
is what
I,
they
No, I agree
made.
With that. I agree
in
with
their
that.
Their region,
Spark
they were great. So what's the problem?
They dropped some pretty heinous maps.
You cannot in good faith say that Spark has been the number one best team throughout APAC this season. It has been Infernal.
It's between them and Infernal.
I'll give you that.
I would say they traded first.
Yeah.
Spark did better than Infernal midseason. That's the thing. They've been trading first, is what I'm saying.
I mean, Spark did better because they won a single match.
Which Infernal didn't. So
I think for us when we were discussing Spark preseason, we were talking about like, oh, this is gonna be a dominant team.
Yeah.
Like a really dominant team. This team is going to be so far ahead above everyone else. This team's been just milder shades of poo.
You forgot that the Chengdu Hunters exploded and the Chengdu Zone scattered across
Sure, but the thing is, the Chengdu zone, like, if the entire region is irradiated, like Chernobyl, with Chengdu particles, then, like, that's, like, then that's not good overall still. Like, we thought this team was going to be really good. Like, we were really high on this team coming into the year. Like, holy shit, this is the promised Chinese super team. And they have, it's not good. It's, like, it's been very inconsistent. I mean, like, they've had good moments.
The peaks are there. The peaks are there.
Sure, they've had their peaks, but they've also been, like, you know, they've also been buried a thousand layers deep, like the ancient 1,000-year aliens as well.
They would never, like, absolutely shit. They were never below, like,
no, they were never, like, the worst team in the region. It's more so, like, I think for the peak, to my disappointment, I think Custa's the same, is that we thought this team was going to be really dominant, and they have been middling to good.
Yeah. While we while we're on the topic of APAC, and we look at APAC, there's a lot of green right there. Yeah. But if you scroll a little bit to the right here, can we talk about the fact that Bad Pachimori ranked Infernal fifth?
I don't know where. I mean, he hated. That's crazy. That was crazy for that guy.
The only one to do so, and it's just the worst take in APAC. BP, what happened?
Wait, what happened here? I feel like also looking at our total rankings, surely we weren't the worst ranking. Look at our, what's our ranking? What's our total points?
Well, everyone got like 32, 30, a couple of 28s. Jake and Custa got 28. I got 36 because Gladius and Shulk screwed me over.
Wait, so Jake and I are the smartest? Great. Yo, you take.
But we got like, but we got 34 for our total plat chat rankings.
Lower is better because it's a difference in
placing. Yeah, lower is better. We're playing golf.
Yeah, so we're pretty. We're not bad.
Well, not... I mean, okay. So who's worse? Mine were worse than Plat Chats, and
okay, you... I did better than. K-Jor. I also did better. I got 32, so I did better than Plat Chats. And then so, Custa kind of blew us out of the water because of the. What did you do? So what did you own us on so hard? Was it an A?
You guys fucked up with Outlaws like super hard. Was you lost Outlaws? A couple of points on Outlaws, and then. What else is that?
Oh, Spitfire and Justice.
Yeah, I put Justice pretty low. I tried to show you guys. I remember at the start of the season, I tried to tell you that Justice wasn't going to be that good, and you guys fought me on it.
Because
they look decent in Pro-Am, so I think that game is on belief.
Yeah, and when are we going to learn that preseason literally
the
has,
the thing
like,
is,
no
I will
weight?
Say the Outlaws narrative was... So I did save us of the... I did push for the Mayhem, but I think I was the pusher of the Outlaws narrative, which ended up being, like... That was, like, just a gut call, and it did not work out. So that one's on me. I think the biggest thing... I also think the Shock one was, like, that's unfortunate, like... That's a really unfortunate one. Shock really boomed.
Yeah.
I think this list is a great example of how badly Shock failed this season in terms of public perception. Because this team had great rookies coming into this season, and they just have not lived up to that.
I mean, this
in
has
like
to be the worst fumbling of a tank line, of like a star tank line in the history of the Overwatch League, I think.
Oh my God.
In the history of the Overwatch League, I think the Shock tank line situation is probably the worst fumbling of any tank line. Like, I can't think of a worse one other than, like, I don't know, like maybe some of the Titan stuff with like Fissure and things like that. But even then, like,
it's even worse in my eyes because we've seen, especially in Overwatch 2, tank lines fumble because there's one tank now, right? And like sometimes they corner themselves with a player who can't end up playing to the degree, but they have two great tanks that should be able to cover every single role, and it doesn't feel like they were.
I mean,
they've
kind of clicked a bit here towards the end of the season.
I got one more. I got one more for you. Justice, Mag, and Fury was a pretty big fumble.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, Mag and Fury was definitely a huge one.
Oh yeah,
Mag and Fury was gigantic. I mean, that has to be top. So, I mean, honestly, Titan should be on the list because Titans, the whole org exploded, like the roster exploded. So, like Titans, it should really just be like fucking Justice.
Oh,
well,
but that's different because Titans didn't fumble the roster when they had it. The fumble was the whole situation about losing the roster, but when they had the roster, it was fine.
Yeah, it was good.
Teams that signed good players and somehow fumbled them.
Yeah. So pretty much the top two have to be then Justice, like the Mag Fury Justice tank line and the Shock tank line this year.
Yeah.
I can't
also, people are gonna hate me for this. I will save us some face, because on the episode, we said that Atlanta Reign were the better team, and we put Shock number one for the memes, because everyone would hate on it. So with that small swap, we'd kind of be tied with everyone.
That's true. Yeah, so, if we had swapped that, that's fair. Yeah,
we'd kind of be
fair.
Tied with everyone at that point.
And so, I also didn't for believe the memes, in Uprising kind that of hard, which I think not believing in the Uprising also got me. I think that like that bled into this a bit because I just didn't see like I don't know.
I mean, if you look at everyone else with uprising like one or two slots below us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, so we're pretty on par.
You guys are very high on uprising in like,
we're pretty on par with uprising, for sure.
But remember, there was the like uprising boomage conspiracy theories that were going into this season that I think maybe I and we as a group sort of like stoked the fires of a little bit, but they ended up like having a really successful season. Like,
but also,
I think
they did have some bad moments here and there, so.
But I think that's the limitation of this roster, right? Like, I think is like they have great players, but
that's not true. I got Twitch after 6 months. Twitch has paid me. I on the esport payment cycle here. I have survived. I made it. Twitch paid me after 6 months. I did. I beat it. I have beat the Twitch not paying me allegations. Actually, I've done it. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that Shock would have been a flop?
6 months is a lot of time.
Okay.
That's a large sum.
Six months. Yep.
In the defense as well here of, you know, people saying that Shock were going to flop, okay? People have been saying that for years. People said that last year that Shock were going to flop, and then they ended up almost winning the entire grand finals. You can't just shoot your shit at the wall and then...
And then they got, like, on paper, some of the most hyped rookie players to come in to the year. You know, it's like... And they still kept... And they got a better coach. They got, like, better coaching line because they brought 9K back to work with them. Like...
Like, it was there last year, wasn't it?
He was there last year, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, sorry. But they still, but they kept their coaching staff, I should say. So, like, arguably, on all fronts, when you take the performance from last year and, like, the rookies they were getting, like, people should be like, oh, this team was still gonna, and they still retain, like, Proper and Finn. Like,
also, Vindyme, people forget about this. Vindyme was literally in the support role star conversation last year.
Yeah. And
like, people forget how praised he was last year.
And he sings good, right? Like, see him play for the Vancouver Titans. Like, that was what we thought was joining the San Francisco Shock as well. Like, you look at the he sang Sugar Free combo. That's what we just thought was going to happen with the Proper he sang combo, right? It was like he sang was going to facilitate Proper to just play the carry heroes. Like, in theory, Shock should have been better this year. And that's why I think we consider it such a big fumble.
Very big curse on the support line, too. I think this year is also the worst. Besides their fumbling the tank line, this has been their most cursed support line yet. In terms of, like, how, like, I think they, like, haven't... They've had to go through two different main supports. Now they're three, technically, if you include Luke Mino. And Rinko has never really played main support, is now playing main support. He, honestly, for their matches that they lost this past weekend, was a large portion of that was due to some very unfortunate situations from Rinko. Like... And it's not, I'm not even necessarily blaming Rinko. It's not like his role, you know, like it's not his role. And like, that's like, this is just like been a rough year with like roles for Shock. Yeah. Like for sure. A very rough year for roles.
Speaking of support, I mean, I think now in hindsight, you could definitely say that losing Violet was a huge deal. Like that is probably one of the biggest blows.
Same with Shu for Gladiators.
Yeah but I think players. Gladiators is a weird case because of the fact that like, when their tank line, when their support line of like Babel and like Lastro were playing, I mean, Shu would have upgraded that for sure. But the biggest thing is that those players disappeared. Like they literally, like where do they go? Like even if you had Shu, if you had lost your other flex support and still had to get like Cal to come in, or get like play only full time Lucio,
be an insane take. But I genuinely believe if Shu was permanently flex support for that team next to like Lastro or something, or Funny Astro and Lastro, I think Gladiators are like way better this season.
No. I don't think that's hard to disagree. It's more so I don't think that would have been like a miraculous save for like their season. I think they still would have had the problems because they wouldn't like, what would have been their double flex? Like, would they still have to get Cal? Would they, like, what happened to Babel and Lastro?
No, Lastro. No,
yeah, you just play Lastro. Like,
why would the addition of Shu suddenly make it that Lastro?
Because I think support is one of those roles that people don't give enough props to of like how much having, especially a flex support, like having a flex support who's always on top of it, whose mechanics are at the top. You see that impact time and time again, and it enables you to play so much more. I agree with Johnny that if the support line the entire season was just Lastro Shu, and they kept the tanks and the DPS exactly how they were, this would have been at least a top 6 team, top 5 team, 100%.
But that's just under the assumption that Lastro continued to play.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But Lastro is not playing because the team is not great, you know? Yeah. Like there was some unhappiness about the situation.
Maybe. I mean, like I said, like I like to me, it's like I think there's other potential options.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think that like there are. I think yes. In if they had kept Shu and had Lastro, yes, the backline would have been objectively much better, for sure. Like, that's,
I mean,
no matter what.
It is, I don't want to say weird, but the whole Dante thing, like, you were one map away from qualifying from Itzy Zimianis, and then you got rid of Dante. Like, I don't know. We'll look back at this Gladiator season and be like, what happened?
A lot of very interesting. I mean, they had some very, very interesting roster choices.
Yeah. Lads. Do you want to scroll down to the 1-20 here? I mean, it's pretty much the same list, right? It's slightly different in points. So, but we had 58. Avaz had 57. Costa 54. Yeah, you were tied second lowest, Costa. The lowest was Missless with 52.
Damn.
Wait, what list is this? Oh, this is...
This is 1-20, so combined regions.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So... You got second place after Missless, Costa.
Let's go, Missless. Yeah, no, not bad. Honestly, yeah. successful year of power rankings.
Yeah.
Take those.
Yeah. I will say it was an improvement from us. If you scroll down a little bit further, it says difference last year. -1. We improved by 1.
Yeah.
So good job, us. Maybe we'll keep that up next year. -8 for Costa. Way better this year, Costa. Than last
year. I think last year was a shocker. Yeah,
I pretty much was the exact same, it looks like, for me this year, it seems like.
Yeah. I don't think I did.
Pretty sure it's about, I mean, it seems like I'm very consistent.
Yeah. And if we scroll down even further, we get the awards. I don't know if you can scroll to the right a little bit. Here we go. Awards. Best Pred Split NA. Costa Jake Missless. Best Pred Split APAC. Yiska 2. I don't know why you're allowed to have two tier lists. That kind of seems like cheating to me. Split total, Costa Jake. Best Preds together, NA, Costa Missless. APAC, ATP, together, Missless. Most perfect guesses, Costa in NA. We got an award. Most perfect guesses, Split APAC. So we won APAC, the Split
Let's
Region
go.
APAC. We got that. Yay. Most overrated team, LA Gladiators. Most underrated team, Soul Inferno. Which kind of surprised me.
Dude, I just looked at the 2022 winners. My name's all over that shit. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of dominated last year.
Last year, you had a great year. I mean, unfortunately, this year, you kind of fell off.
You kind of fell off. Sorry.
If only I made a pred this year.
Glow up, baby.
Yeah, you didn't. You didn't even submit something. The reigning champ, just like, I'm done.
He quits on top.
You just elo camped. You actually just elo camped.
That's crazy.
Well, there's no rank decay, so I'm just going to hold number one.
There's no rank decay. Well, you gotta play some preds each year to maintain the rank, you know. If you click on the MVPs tab down at the bottom below, they also keep track of number of MVPs received. So someone at the top 8 player of the matches. I assume this is a player of the match. Yeah. So someone with 8 player of the match, Prophet and Cest with 7. So this is some cool information right here. But there you go. All right. Better luck next time, guys. It's not good enough.
I mean, we could do better.
Next time we're having Costa on, because Costa obviously dominated. So next time we need Costa on the rankings.
Listen, I'm just going to say that my rankings were also in the towards the top half. So, like, I should still stay as well. Just going to
my man just abandoning the ship as soon as possible. Like, hey, no, me on my own lonesome was great. You got to fight for your heart a little bit more, Avaz. You got to die on that hill. You just got to yell louder.
The thing is that to me, also, I just don't care that much. So that's part of it. It's just kind of funny. I mean, the rankings, like, who fucking cares? You know, like, it's just like, no one's really gonna know.
It's supposed to just spark conversation, right? Which I think is the whole point of it, right? And it's to have fun. Like, literally, let's be honest, Avril, no one remembers you won last year. No one's gonna remember.
I didn't even remember.
I won this year. I don't even know where I finished last year. It's not about winning. It's about fucking
having a good time.
It's the memes along the way.
Now that I know I did win, it's about winning. Made aware that
now he's getting a trophy.
Yeah, start tweeting.
To put up on his shelf. He's going to have that ready to go.
I saw tweeting about last year.
I really think, though, all things considered, when you think about, like, we didn't do, like, badly. We just did all right.
No, you did pretty badly. You came last. Well, actually, Kajor came last.
We didn't come last.
You came second to last.
Yeah, we didn't come last. I think that's not that bad. You know? And it's because so really what we've learned is we should not compromise on the show. We should be deadlocked and arguing our point for 2 hours. We should never compromise. We should never let the conversation move forward. We will argue. We will filibuster until we get the correct rankings.
You know, in hindsight, I think even though Shock was obviously a massive disappointment, the fact we didn't put Outlaws top three with their roster, kind of insane.
Because you guys put them at like fifth or sixth.
We had them top five.
You consider how superstar rotted that.
I think that one might have been on me, to be fair. Yeah. That one might have been on me because I was just like, this seems like something Outlaws would do. Like, you know, like it just was like that wasn't even like an educated like guess. It was literally just like, the only educated part of it, I think, was essentially like, I was worried about Fearless if he had to flex to a lot of off tanks. I think that was the one educated portion of that guess.
It has been a main tank season, right? Like,
it's been a main tank season.
Season, which has been good for Houston. But like, obviously, we know Fearless is a great tank. All around, so.
But we don't really know exactly to what extent because we never had to play like D.Va, Zarya.
But
like,
Shuva Violet, bro, like Shuva Violet.
No, exactly. I mean, they was good. It was obviously really good. It's just like I think that was the only real part of my assessment was like, well, I see a bunch of tank lines that look like they're completely built out essentially, and then I see like one that like it's very reliant on the Fearless and also Houston. It's Houston Outlaw, so I expect something funny to happen. So, but they didn't. They actually had a great year. So.
No one predicted the Winston meta for like 6 months.
Yeah, so. Honestly, I went into this just thinking like, oh, off tanks are going to be great. And didn't really see them on the off tanks.
And so. The thing is, even if I thought there were going to be Winston metas, I thought we would not have Winston meta for literally the whole year, essentially.
Yeah, and Sombra. So, yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Do you want to, moving on to the next thing, do you want to save the voting for the best of thing? Or do you want to save that for next week? We got a couple of weeks until the actual playoffs.
Oh, so, I mean, we can, yeah. I mean, because that's fine with me. Like, what else do we have to?
We got to chat about the play-ins. We got play-ins in the West and the East to cover, and play-ins are quite exciting. So I think we
have a decent amount of content there. So why not? We could let's push it to the end and see what our time's like.
All right. Do you want to start off in the West play-ins and then we can go into the East play-ins bracket because that obviously concluded as well. The Western bracket. Pretty insane. Very even. A lot of teams competing for that final slot. And it feels like anyone can really qualify via the play-ins. You know, we have the Toronto Spitfire. Except they're looking really good. Except New York. Yeah. Vancouver Titans are looking pretty good. Toronto Defiant in the upper bracket with Boston Uprising, who probably are the favorite here. But anyone can really win this one. Do we have any favorites after week one of play-ins?
I think for me, Boston has to be the favorites coming out of the West. I think they looked good against London Spitfire. They seem to have a pretty good idea. And for me, I don't know, like, let's get a vibe check on where we came from last week. Because last week, you know, I was advocating... our bracket, yeah. I was predicting that Vancouver would get over Defiant because of the Ilari stuff wouldn't work as well. Toronto Defiant just went fucking sicko mode in the back half and reverse swept the Vancouver Titans. So I guess you guys were right to that degree, but do you believe the Toronto Defiant composition is going to be able to make it the distance? Because like they have to either beat Boston or beat like probably a London or Vancouver again, maybe Shock.
I kind of zoned out because honestly, I was just in awe in the fact that our bracket is like right. It's like correct.
Did we get it like
I was like, wait a minute.
I think, but the only reason our bracket
pretty much
is correct,
everything correct.
I think so far, the only reason our bracket is correct, actually, by the way, is despite of me, because I was pushing for New York to beat Justice. I think if I had gotten that right, that would have fucked up the whole bracket.
Yeah.
If that had gone through.
Sorry, Costa. What was your question?
Do you believe in the Toronto Defiant and them playing the Ilari comp?
I'm scared. I am a little frightened. I mean, Hydron took over on Dorado, but there was definitely a moment there where I thought Vancouver Titans were going to win the series, quite frankly. And they came out the gates looking really good on Ilios as well. Like, that was a quick 2-0 on Ilios. So, I feel like people are catching up to the Toronto Defiant. I'm not so sure that they're my favorite pick to qualify from the lower bracket at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing here is that it showed some resilience from like, it still showed there's a lot, like Defiant got a lot of firepower because Vancouver, I was worried about Vancouver because they were lost in the sauce with meta-wise. They were playing some weird shit. Then they refocused and they started playing meta that was like a meta that was really good for them. I mean, they were playing like Lucio and like Ana or like Lucio Bap and stuff. And they like, their DPS picks are good. They weren't like hard focused, like, overall, and they had Punk like refocusing in here on like a lot of different picks that are good right now. Like, I think if Defiant can reverse sweep Titans with their comp, I still don't, I'm not counting them out by any means, because like they look still really good on the comp is long, like they look good on the comp still. You know, I think there was just some also some crucial, big crucial mistakes that Titans made too. So to be fair, like, I don't know. It's risky. It's risky because I think also Shock struggled. So like when you look at the lower bracket, like realistically, like I guess like their biggest, like what's the biggest competition for them to make it out for Defiant would be, well, technically they haven't, would be like, I don't know. Could they be like maybe Shock? Or just, I mean, I guess there's a lot, I mean, yeah, granted stuff.
I think for me, the fear I have for Toronto is if they have to run into London.
Yeah.
I think London is a scary team for Toronto because their I don't know how so what they do will work against London. And I also think, I think they can beat Washington. I think they can beat Shock. Like, I'm pretty confident that Toronto can beat both of those teams, but the Vancouver rematch will be spicy and I think London will be an interesting one, but they, obviously they have the opportunity to just beat London as well.
Or you mean they could also beat Boston?
Beat Boston. Sorry.
Yeah. My fault. Yeah, that's what you mean. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing is that for them, if they're playing this really slow double flex, London is their kryptonite essentially. Because like against faster, like even against like faster backlines, London's so good at just destroying your backline with the TP right now. Yeah. It's like even teams are prepared for it. Like it's hard. Like, even Boston, who was prepared for them to do it, they still struggled occasionally to keep Izzy alive versus the TPs.
First map wasn't close, but, like, London-Boston, like, London crushed Boston.
Like, there were some real tough times for them to keep Izzy alive versus the TPing. But, like, so that's where Defiant's biggest weakness is definitely going to lie, is, like, can they keep their backline alive versus this TP strats? So that's a kryptonite moment.
Johnny, I have a question. Did you guys, like, have we found out whether or not we're playing the Zaya meta in the playoffs? Has that been announced yet, or is that like a thing, or are we just playing, are we going to the Zaya patch, or are we not going to the Zaya patch? Has that been, oh, you're muted, at least.
Sorry,
to me.
I cracked a cold one, so I had to mute the mic for a second.
BB long neck.
I don't know, actually. I mean, Kalush tweeted out the thing, right? Kalush tweeted out the thing where like this Mickey Mouse meta or whatever for Dallas Fuel and I think the Shock or something like that. I don't know if it's confirmed we're playing on the new patch. So I don't know. Personally, my opinion, I would not like to play on the new patch. If we can go all of spring stage and just be like, yeah, we're not gonna play the Junker Queen patch because we acknowledge in ranked it's kind of like messed up. Like, why can't we wait out this one patch for literally the last weekend of the year for the playoffs and just play a consistent patch for the play-ins and playoffs? So that's my point. But I don't know what they'll do. I mean, historically, they want the same patch as the game, right? So I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
I think we're changing. I don't want us to, but I think we're changing.
I think so as well. I think it would be weird to not change, but I agree with you. I'd prefer to not change just because of how dramatic this Zaya change. If it does end up just becoming a hard Zaya meta, that like invalidates how every single team got here in a way, right?
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, we just had play-ins to advance two teams that might not be good in the meta.
Consider this. there are heavy rumors that Houston is signing like an off-tank player right now.
Yeah.
They're doing
yeah.
an emergency signing for an off-tank player. Why would they do that? Play Zarya,
yeah,
I guess.
That's like, a good point. Yeah, yeah.
That's the only reason.
I mean, also it's like a hard. So essentially, for competitive integrity reasons, it would make the most sense for the meta to stay the same as it currently is, because also for practice, like the play-ins teams can't practice for the new meta if they were to swap, and also the current playoff teams.
That's exactly what happened last year, by the way.
Practice really the new meta either, really, except against each other. Like, they have less partners to do so. So it's like, essentially, it's just worse for the play-in teams. Because the play-in teams are like, which is the majority of the teams, they're all playing on a meta that might not be the meta for playoffs. So, like, for competitive integrity reasons, I sort of understand. But also, I don't know. It's like, isn't there what's the gap between play-ins to playoffs?
There's 2 weeks.
2 weeks,
it concludes this weekend, and then, I mean, there's
so,
one
I mean,
weekend
like,
with no games.
I guess the question is, like, also, like, how big of a gap do we want there to swap metas? Is 2 weeks enough? Do we need 3 weeks? Is it more than that? Like, what's an acceptable gap, theoretically? like in that mode. In that, because I think 2 weeks, I will say 2 weeks on the edge of what I consider an acceptable gap for there to be a new meta. I wouldn't say it's.
I mean, they're going to have a disadvantage. The play-in teams will, guaranteed.
Yes. Yes. Because also the playoffs teams, what they're doing is they're just like playing, they're just scrimming playoffs teams or play-ins teams, but they're just forcing the, they themselves aren't playing on the new meta, obviously, but they are just scrimming that meta. Like they're pretending like it's the meta, essentially, from what it seems like. It's like, if you're a playoffs team scrimming a play-ins team, you're playing what might be playoffs meta, potentially. Like you are practicing like other tank comps. You're not practicing what's currently meta. With
the
like
problem is,
yeah.
Regardless of practice time and all that, which is like really important for competitive integrity, the main argument for me is that the current patch for Owl is just a better patch. Like, in my opinion, this patch seems really balanced. A lot of stuff is viable. Yes, Orisa is quite strong, but she's not 100% pick rate. You can play so many things into her. And that just seems like a good patch to me. I just think, like, why move away at this point from what is a really good patch that we can perfectly play all the way into finals just for what? Just so that we can maintain one-to-one parity at all times? I mean, it's, it seems like another Mickey Mouse situation where every year playoffs is a brand new patch for some reason, and it's just like, okay, cool. So who gets, who, we'll just see who gets lucky in the patch, I guess.
Yeah.
It feels like, and
right now we got a good meta.
There.
So
we should.
Fair enough. We don't know.
Well, then you gamble that versus whatever the new patch is.
Sorry, I muted myself.
I need to mute in Discord.
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry. I have a different thing for Discord. And
just figuring out the technology.
What I said was this patch might not be good in a few weeks. Like, that's the issue, right? Like, we could all be playing Junker Queen in 2 weeks. Like, everyone just realizes that, like, maybe Junker Queen's the best. Maybe just Orisa is the best, right? We don't know yet, but it could standardize
so
over time.
So the argument then becomes, you have data right now that supports this patch being good. Now, it's possible that the patch could be bad in 3 weeks if we just stay on the same patch, but we at least know what we have now versus just blatantly taking the risk of whatever the new patch is and praying we don't get a perm Azari meta. Because the other problem with time is, this is what happened last year, and this is what happens in a lot of playoffs metas. It's not even about like what actually is good based on the patch notes. It's about how much time the teams have to figure it out, and you'll just land on whatever's easy to execute if you don't have enough time. So like, oh, it's Winston, Kiriko, Lucio. That's just what was winning in scrims early. Everyone's just going to spam that. No one's going to experiment. You don't have time to experiment. You're just going to play the first thing that works. And if it's boring, oh, too fucking bad. You know, we're just going to play it.
Another thing that people forget about competitive integrity as well is, yes, we had this problem last year. But last year, we had 12 teams in the playoffs. And we had 3 teams qualify from play-ins. So about 25% of the teams in the playoffs qualified for playoffs. And so you say, okay, well, we already have like 9 best teams in the league at the playoffs, and we'll send 3 more. This year, we only have 8 teams in the playoffs, and 3 of those are from the play-ins. And I mean, Soul Inferno got their slot this past weekend, right? So almost half the teams in the playoffs are qualifying from this play-in meta. And so, you know, that doesn't really sit well with me, because then you have such a large part of the playoff teams qualifying in a meta that is not relevant to the playoff patch. Whereas last year, you pretty much had the best teams, like guaranteed, because you had so many teams participating in the playoffs. So, I don't know.
I agree.
Anyway,
no,
it is what it is.
I mean, the best option for teams is to keep the play-ins patch as the patch we had in the playoffs. That's probably the most consistent option, I guess. It's just also, we're so always balancing the, like, we want to play, it's playoffs, it's the biggest event of the year, and we won't be on live patch. It's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. And on top of that, there's a 2-week gap still. It's not like we're doing it like, oh, it's like next day or 1 week. It's 2 weeks. Now, I think that's a misleading time frame still, because also if part of that 2 weeks gap, teams are going to be traveling. Teams will be going to Toronto, but that will last like a day, 2 max, but that's still like time you won't be able to play. Also, like, for the teams that qualify last, like, they've had the least amount of time, you know. It's just like, it's, I don't know, it's a really hard balancing act. And for myself personally, it depends on like what our goals are here, because like, I think if this was like a 1-week gap or shorter, I'd be like, this is unfair, this is extremely unfair. If it's 2 weeks and we have the option to play on a live patch for the playoffs, the biggest event of our year, and like this is how we advertise, like think about like what happened last year for playoffs where we had a really good viewership, really great, like, and we were live patch, like it was like the game was like we were 1-to-1 viewing it if you were tuning in for the first time, and it was exciting, it was electric for the viewers. That's the risk you run of like, we're not running live patch, and we get into then it's like, well, our product is not really what you're seeing. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that we should not do that, but like, you know.
But also, shit, also last year, the playoff patch meant playing Kiriko, the release of Kiriko, a new hero. Makes way more sense to play the same patch if it's like a massive change, like a brand new hero, like Kiriko. If we didn't have Kiriko at last year's playoffs, that would have been a massive disappointment to everyone, I feel like. This year, it's just a mid-season patch.
Yeah. Good point.
Like, what are we missing out on? There's no new hero. There's no new map, really. And so, what are we changing
to Zaya? And people won't miss Zaya. People aren't going to tune into the
stream.
No one's
going to play us in Toronto and be like, they're not playing Zarya. It's not right. Yeah. Zarya is in my ranked games for the past 2 weeks, but not at playoffs.
But Zaya's not even, like, giga strong. Like, she's good. Like, she's strong, right? Like, she definitely could be, like,
I don't think she's going to be, like,
but she's not like a... She's not like a Jotes, where it's like, if you're not playing Junker Queen, you're actually just throwing the game. Like, I don't think that's true, and I think there could be some counterplay to the Zaya. So, I agree with you. Like, I think it would be great if we just, like, accepted this wasn't a mid-season patch. The big issue that I think we're running into is we have never had consistency on this decision, right? Like, from patch to patch, from situation to situation, we make different decisions, right? Like, we've outlawed the Junker Queen patch in the past, while then we've, like, forced patches earlier, but then we just had a week break or a two-week break so teams can practice this patch. So it's like, I agree with you guys. Like, I would prefer to just not see this new patch come through because I think it could just, like, change everything. Like, it could just be... It's going to suck if we get into a Zaya meta and then Dallas just comes up, dominates, and then, like, for whatever reason, right? Like, you know, Houston suck, right? Because it's a patch.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty Mickey Mouse. Honestly, yeah, no, it's going to be pretty Mickey Mouse if Dallas Fuel comes out and just dominate.
There's just a lot of balancing act to be done because I think this is the... Actually, Avery, you go first, and I'll do mine.
So you don't want a team just to... And I don't know, mate. We are talking about Dallas Fuel. I'm not going to use them as an example, although I can understand why they are a team that will be used as an example here because of Hanbin. Like, you don't want a team, any team, regardless of who it is, to come through and benefit majorly on a patch, and that is a primary reason why they then do successful in playoffs. Maybe they win the Overwatch League, maybe they don't. That would be, like, such a shit reason for a team to start dominating just because the patch notes heavily favored them.
Yeah.
That feels like absolute bullshit, so, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that, but also it's because this is a unique year, too, in that this is the first year that there's been more of a tie between what we describe as the Team 4 commercial side and Overwatch League than there ever has been. This has been the first year I think we've ever had that large of a tie. And part of that act is like, we want Team 4 and Overwatch to be like, Overwatch League, here is money. Here is money to live for your product to exist, right? Like, and even if, let's say, Overwatch League doesn't exist in its current form next year, but we still would like Team 4 and, you know, and now Microsoft to be like, here is dollars, marketing dollars for their product to exist. When we have a reasonable expectation of like, well, we can reasonably qualify this where it's not ridiculously competitively unfair because it's a 2 week gap versus like something super media. Obviously, it's still not fair, but it's not ridiculously unfair. And we have the option to most accurately market your game in its current state at our playoffs, but we're choosing not to. Like, it's the risk we run business-wise well to be like, well, you guys are unreliable marketers, right? Like, it's the tightrope we won, but like, I think it's like, this is the unfortunate situation we're currently at with like esports is like, are we willing to make potential compromises so the product exists?
See, I would go along with that if it was what Johnny said earlier and it was like last year where there's a new hero. There's like meaningful content to advertise. There's not meaningful content to advertise this time around, so it just doesn't feel like a strong
argument. Like I said, I think the situation is not the same. I'm just saying that I could see that there is an argument to be made why they would argue that the playoffs patch should be live patch and not play-ins, right? Because this year has had we've had the most amount of tie, I would argue, ever in Overwatching history between the commercialization and like Team 4 like marketing teams to the Overwatch League ever in terms of like how directly we're actually talking and working together. So like I said, I just see there's a reason why that could happen and why I'm kind of ambivalent about it, because it's, I see both sides where essentially like I would prefer if teams get to stay on the current patch, the plans patch, but like if they're pushing for us to be live patch because it can continue our relationship, then I'm like, well, at the end of the day, I'd rather the money keep flowing than it stop. So like that's just my personal opinion on the matter. So it's like I don't really have a really strong stance either way, honestly. I'm doing what we call fence sitting. I'm sitting on the fence.
Nice.
And enjoy, I'm not taking a strong stance either way, because I think both of them have valid points. And I personally wouldn't be mad whichever direction we go, because I understand them both.
Yeah. You want to get back to the planes a little bit? We still have a meta to discuss when it comes to the planes.
Yeah.
No, it was worthwhile. It's a good topic. Solomon, I don't know if you can pull up some game footage from either Boston Uprising against London Spitfire or Vancouver Titans against Toronto Defiant. Because I wanted to ask about this composition that Vancouver Titans brought out, and Boston Uprising played a similar composition against Toronto Spitfire that really seemed to make Vancouver Titans stronger in the play-ins than perhaps we expected, because they had some issues adapting. Primarily playing some variation of Lucio, Genji, Soldier or Bastion, Ana or Batiste, with an Orisa, actually. So in Boston Uprising's case, did a really good job dealing with Hadi's shield, for example, by playing Orisa and Bastion. And in Vancouver Titans' case, I mean, they had Heesang playing Soldier and flanking a lot, and also Sugarfree on the Genji, while Punk manned the Orisa. Do we think that this is kind of the composition moving forward in the play-ins here? Because especially after Boston Uprising dealt with Ronald Spitfire playing the Bastion Orisa composition, it does feel like this kind of variation of a composition does have the advantage over both Toronto Defiant's slower comp or Lone Spitfire's rush comp. I don't know if you guys agree with that.
I think the Junker Queen is better than the Orisa, but I think you need the Orisa if you're playing against the Reinhardt or if you're playing against, you know, the double that you're the shooter comp, because you just need things that's going to live, and Junker Queen just can't close that distance or just do anything against that. Same thing with the Bastion. Like, I think you need that high damage Bastion. I think you need to be pumping it out. So I understand why both Vancouver and Boston played a lot of Orisa and played this comp. And I think the variations of this comp will be played. Like, I think this is what the play-ins meta is. So I like the flanking soldier idea here from Heesang, but I think he kind of fumbled towards the end.
He went crazy. Selfless gaming.
He didn't adapt and change when Defiant started dealing with him. Like, someone told me on New Queen Street, he went 0-10. He didn't get a single final blow.
Yes,
he died 10 times.
Yeah, I know. He got zero final blows on New Queen Street.
He died 10 times. He died first a lot, because essentially what happened is Hydron just started marking him, and they started like turning on him, and they just started killing him like over and over again. And I think...
Who died 20 times?
He died 10 times.
0-10.
But he went 0-10. Yeah, he went 0-10.
And I think, yeah, so like he tried to do what Hydron was doing, but then like Defiant made the adaptation and they didn't respond. And I think that was a big mistake. And one of the reasons I think Defiant ended up turning. And then honestly, Heesang played well on Widowmaker against, I don't want to get away from your point, Johnny.
He was good on the first half of Dorado. He was great. First half.
The Orisa Lucio Bap or Orisa Lucio Ana for Vancouver's perspective, I think it's a really good idea, and I think it can work, and there was potential for them to win that series over Toronto playing that composition until Hydron does this.
Yeah, I mean, Hydron kind of popped off, but I mean, also I just think that like in general they like Defiant, I think it's a lot more leeway to run this comp still, because they also currently stats, like looking at the gameplay still, it still seems like Majed is the best Illari currently.
He's like the only one really playing her that much these days though as well.
I mean, like that's what I'm saying. Like there's the only one playing it, but like of the Illaris we've seen, he's still had the most impact by far.
Don't sleep on Pineapple. No,
yeah, well, there are some players
to only play Illari. That's his only hero right now.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different like, obviously there's a lot of like, but I would just say he's had the most impact, but I think that's the only, I still think the meta's shifting away where I think this comp is really good on maps where you have a lot of sight lines. Like I think like Dorado, this is a great map for this. I think, which is why it was baffling that we ended up going to this map, that Titans like chose this, because it's loser pick. So I was like, this is a baffling choice. like stuff like New Queen Street, like, and Midtown, I think were both, well, actually more so Midtown than New Queen Street, but like both really good for like this comp. Like the comp fits, but it's clear that like, I think Lucio Junker Queen is like, or Lucio Orisa metas with like a Genji or something is like definitely the trend that teams have like been kind of moving towards. Cause it's, I think it's far easier to execute and has less issues with it. Also, it's less, if you ever play London, it's a better pick typically. I think it'd be a better pick if you have to play London. So like,
well,
this, I think it's playing, just like a better pick.
If you're playing to London, your two options, your two styles, we talked about Junker Queen and Orisa. If you play the Junker Queen, you're kind of mirroring the rush, except you're playing Queen and they're playing Ryan, but essentially it's the same comp. The Orisa version means you have some good defensive capability and you can actually just survive them rushing.
No, I mean,
down
also, as
TV.
We saw during the Boston match, I think it's more than just survival too. Like there was play, Boston made a lot of plays where like they would engage with the I don't know, I can't remember what the exact ability, but the staff spin, you know, of Orisa, and they would isolate a target and they would kill them with from the isolation, because it's like an extra boop. It's like an extra stronger boop because you completely can isolate a person while Orisa herself is like very, very survivable while doing it. And you can just like find someone early with a pick like that. Like they did that multiple times in the fights where they would engage with the Orisa, you know, like eat and just like find, put one person, shove them into the locker like the nerd they are, and then just fucking kill them. Like one, I think it was like a good idea.
One comp I think is actually really strong into London's comp is playing a Doom, because it really messes up the Bastion gameplay. Like it specifically ruins Bastion Sim. It's like not bad into the Ryan either in terms of matchup. The only potential weakness is if you get counterpinned. I think I can't remember which team did try and play Doom into Hardy, and that Doom got counterpinned a lot by Hardy, or at least that's going to be Hardy's goal. But
that's
otherwise,
fearless.
Like, I can't remember.
I think it
remember.
Was Houston versus London at the end of the regular
but
season.
But the idea is good because it really shuts down the Bastion, and the Sim Bastion is the strength of the comp, but is also a weakness as well, because that's like a very vulnerable part of the comp that you can get. And the BAP can't do a lot to protect them if the punches are actually landing. You're getting the knockback and pushing them out of MO and all that kind of stuff. So, like Dallas Fuel have been primarily running Sim Bastion stuff with Hambit on Queen, and it just loses hard to Doom. And specifically, the Bastion gets fucked. They don't even have to do that much versus the tank or anything. They just target Bastion with Doom, and then you just see the Bastion swap eventually.
On that note, Dallas actually showed how you can make some minor adjustments to your DPS, and I think you can continue to play the Queen. I think if you play the Genji Sojin and you just play faster into it, I think it works better.
That's just the Summer Showdown comp from last year, right? So
but that's what I mean, right? Like you're playing you just go faster, and I think that's an adaptation that Dallas has shown they know how to do, yet they refuse to do consistently against the Hongzhou Spark playing this Doomfist setup. So I think there are like, that's my problem with the Doomfist is like, obviously it's worked for the Spark really well in APAC. The question I have, especially if we go into the playoffs, of is the Doomfist going to continue to work against some of these other teams? Obviously Houston believes it can work. We just haven't seen that matchup much other than Hongzhou versus Dallas, and then Hongzhou versus Dallas, and then Hongzhou versus Dallas time and time again.
But that's been the best example. But I think it's a specific counter to the Bastion. And talking about the Sojin Genji as well, that probably, because I'm talking a lot about London here in terms of how it relates to London. I don't know if that's going to be a good look for London, because with the Queen, it makes sense. You can give the shout to the Genji and whatnot. But the Ryan, I mean, is Hardy just going to swap off the Ryan? And I don't think Spitfire,
I don't think it will.
About that. Exactly, right? So it's not the same. I don't think they can do that. Also, Spark a Backbone, that doesn't scream strong Sojin Genji to me, unfortunately. So that's just not, I don't think London are going to do anything except Sim Ryan comps. Maybe Sparker might swap off the Bastion to like a Soldier or a Sojin if he's like super pressure and the Bastion's not working out. But primarily, the London comp's not going to change. Lucio Bap, you have to play that everywhere with the Ryan comp as well. So four out of the five heroes are locked in for London.
Yeah, by all accounts, people rate London as like one of the best teams in the play-ins. I mean, I forget who it was. If it was, I can't remember if it was like Boston or something, but they came out and was like, oh, Toronto.
It was Toronto. London. I think it was Collusion Toronto.
Toronto? Yeah, it was kind of Collusion Toronto. Just like,
Collusion had an
London
interview,
is scary.
Right? Yeah.
Like, they might be the best team, you know, in the play-ins. So I don't think they're planning on changing anything. I think London and Spitfire are fine. I'm more so worried about a team like the Toronto Defiant. Like, if they get pushed down into the lower bracket, I think a team like Vancouver Titans will improve more this week, then Toronto Defiant might push their game forward with the Ilari comp. Like at a certain point, I think Toronto Defiant is like a skill roof where like they can't improve that much more on this composition. Whereas I think Vancouver Titans could make pretty significant adjustments to their current lineup and actually have a chance at qualifying for playoffs because of that. So I don't know. We haven't even mentioned San Francisco Shock, but we'll see.
The more I look at Ilaria, I'm more like this hero is a trap. Like it's a super greedy hero. And you're starting to see teams just punish that. And you can't be consistent. Like maybe Majid has the best aim to make it slightly consistent. But you know, you're trying to play a third DPS, relying on pylon healing, which is not bad. But it's at some stage, you're not gonna hit every shot, you're not gonna get the value that you thought you're gonna get, and you're gonna get baited into playing a hero that seems like it has a lot of potential on paper, but the potential is very rarely ever realized.
Ilari, just if you get in her face, she's incredibly useless. Like as you said, if you hit every single shot, yeah, sure, you can deal with that, but that's inconsistent. I think if people run past you, they kill the pylon, and then you just have no healing. And you know, people forget Ilari, her only mobility is the outburst, and that's not that good of a mobility. Obviously, it has a lot of utility, but it's not going to stop you from just getting eviscerated. And I also think Captive Sun is very difficult to get value out of. Yeah, like if you watch Defiant's match versus, I think it was Vancouver, I would say over half of Sir Majed's ults got no value.
Yep.
Like just because it's hard to find anyone to shoot with it, right? And you're very exposed.
Easy to counter.
Yeah.
So many things counter it, and it's just not a good ult. And people can't get baited by like, oh, you get this one clip of an Ilari ult popping off. It's like the one times, like you don't see the other 20 times it failed, you know?
And most of the time when you get that clip of like three people blow up and you get all three kills, you were probably going to win that fight anyway, right? Like that's not usually the determining factor of why you win. Yes, it might win it decisively, but you were probably ahead already in that fight.
Wasn't the point in the segment about how Zarya changes shake up the playoffs?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm good. I'm
we went on a tangent about that. Yeah.
Then we go back to plans. We're back to plans now.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. This is just a Solomon stress test. We're just stress testing our producers, see how much shit we can throw against the wall. Because Solomon, I acknowledge all the different matches you pulled up. Okay, it's no, I see you gaming over there. Now moving on to a different match, Solomon. Are we kind of just counting out the San Francisco Shock? They tried to force the Junker Queen against Lunar Spitfire. They C9'd like no one's ever seen before in Midtown. Three consecutive ones that were kind of forced. But are we just counting the Shock out at this point? Do we not think they're in the realm of Vancouver Titans or
they're not the top two
the other teams?
You gotta get top two to get out. I don't think they're top two here.
Yeah, I mean they're not looking like it. Like they look weak. They don't look like weak, but I think when you see the state of the team with like how their backline is currently performing and they just aren't. They made also just besides that, like coordination wise, I mean they made some bad errors in this match. Like regardless of like even individual play, like this C9 here, they C9 twice essentially, because they had this three C9 times. Where they chase off point, their offense ends, then they have another C9 where they try to forward hold and London literally just runs the point and caps,
and Renko's just laughing.
Yeah. Like it's good that their mental is not being shattered, it looks like.
Oh no, it was shattered in the server. It might not look like it visibly, but their mental was shattered. Like they played
a nervous laugh
terribly after Midtown. Like and Prop is going off on his own team in match chat. Like he's actually actively blaming his team in match chat. And then I'm pretty sure at some point he says, "I'm done." In match chat.
Do we know that is serious, or could he just be joking?
Well, regardless of if it's serious, like,
I don't care. You don't do that.
If I'm a teammate of that guy, I know he's a Jokey McJoneson, someone says, one of my teammates say I'm done in match chat. I said point, no one touches. And then he said,
they just ignore GG.
And then he says, I'm done, I think later. Unless I'm
I mean, like, okay, what if they were just all laughing together that he just types that?
Regardless, like that GG done. Like that, as you said, like that, regardless of if you think you're joking, probably shouldn't be said. Like, even as you said, even in bad, it looks bad publicly, right? Like, and it's whatever. Like, I can understand, even if all jokes aside. To my point about Shock, you need good coordination to beat Toronto, you need good coordination to beat London, or you need to be really fucking mechanically good to beat Boston. I don't think they beat either of those three teams right now, and that's my fear for the Shock.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the same group because I just don't think their current level of coordination and their current level of play, in particular with their backline, is not high enough to beat like some of the best squads right now. I think that's the biggest thing with them. That's definitely the biggest problem.
Yeah. So I think, you know, like they, you see flashes of brilliance from the San Francisco Shock when it all comes together, but then they just make like weird decisions. Like once again, like Junbin coming in for map four again to just play the same hero that Max played the entire series. Like we still yet to see a stabilization of the tank role on the Shock. Like, I don't know. It's been a weird season for Krusty and the San Francisco Shock.
It would be a miraculous turnaround for them to make it through, I think. I think they could have some close matches with the teams in the lower brackets still, but it just if they were to make it out of the play at lower brackets, it would be insane. It would be a Shock moment, TM.
They are the wild card.
Also, Renko Lucio, great against Atlanta. We were all pogging out. It was he had some moments. He kind of diffed Chio in that series. Renko had a bad series, like maybe coming back down to earth on the Lucio a little bit in this series. He really struggled.
I mean, we talk about the tank issues, but the support line for Shock hasn't been much clearer.
Yeah. Like, Finn died first a lot. Renko made a bunch of mistakes. Like, the back line really struggled in that series.
If you really look at this, all you've really done is you replace Vindyne with Renko. Okay, I guess also the pro Heesang situation has maybe been improved, but the back line, I guess it's an improvement, but Shock doesn't feel that improved. Like, there's still problems left over from previous versions. Like, we talk about the tank line situation, who's actually playing, they're just playing the same heroes, doesn't make a lot of sense. I guess they've actually having a hit scan on the DPS side does help the lineup a little bit in terms of their flexibility and what they can play, because the proper Heesang situation was pretty limiting. I don't know, Rinko's had some good moments, but other times as well, like this particular game as you mentioned, it's one of these situations where you look at the Shock backline again. That to me was an issue at the start of the season. It's maybe a little bit more solved now, but doesn't feel solved enough.
I mean, the team knows way better than I do, okay? In no way am I saying they're incorrect playing Renko Finn, but I find it kind of amusing how Finn was essentially like shadow banned the entire season. And then now Luke Amino is benched and Renko's coming in on Lucio and Finn is apparently back to being the flex support starter for this team. They know way better than I do. I just think it's kind of funny, comedic, how it's just all over the place, this team. So they are a wild card. If they come out this coming week and qualify, I'd laugh my ass off. But like, I wouldn't be surprised because they have the skill. They just look like a mess.
If they come out and qualify from out of nowhere, I'm changing my coach of the year vote back to Krusty or some shit. Like, that's crazy. That is the most wild thing that could happen to Shock.
No, absolutely not. I'm going back in time. No.
No, I don't think a miraculous play and run after going to lower brackets is going to necessarily change that for me. But
I'm just saying, like, that's it would be so miraculous that I just put my hands over, like, at this rate, dude, I don't know, Krusty's cooking. Like, something wild would have to happen for them to qualify. I don't think they really have too much of a shot, personally.
Yeah. All right. Washington Justice, any hopium at all? Any?
No.
No.
I mean, that team lives or dies off the Alpha Yi.
Yeah, and then, like, you can see, Alpha Yi just couldn't do anything versus Toronto. Like, he literally just got shut down. Maybe that's the Toronto style, just, like, shutting him down. But you telling me Washington's going to get through London and then either Shock or Titans? Like, I think they're just, they're a weird team. Honestly, they've had a pretty good run. The fact that they made it into play-ins, I think they, you know, they've made some waves. They've had some moments, but
I don't think the meta's that bad, honestly, for them. Like, if this had been, like, the meta they played all year, they would have been probably even a better... They had probably would have a decent shot to, like...
Maybe, like, Toronto, 8-8, you think?
Yeah, like, they could be, like, they could have a better record and had a better seed coming into this because if this had been the meta all year. Like, I think this meta is actually pretty good for them. I think Floor is playing a hero that he's pretty good at. I think, like, you know, the Dong himself and Teru, one of the minor Dong and Teru, not the Dong hack, but the minor Dong is like, they're like a little bit, they're good fit for this meta. I think that like Mirror on Junker Queen and Orisa, both good picks for them. Like it works pretty well. Like Alvi obviously getting to play Carrier. Like overall, this is a good meta for them. It just feels like they still live or die at times of like, does Alpha Yi go sicko mode, you know? There's more opportunity, I think, for Floor to get his name on the board and, like, for this style for them to, like, let Mirror have a lot more impact because he's more comfortable on these sort of heroes and roles. But I still don't think that, like, they don't seem to have the coordination and the overall strength to punch into the top weight class.
Okay. That leaves, essentially, if we assume that Boston Uprising qualifies for playoffs. That leaves for the last spot Toronto Defiant, London Spitfire, and Vancouver Titans. Which of those three do you think makes it in the final playing spot in the lower bracket?
I want it to be Toronto, but it's going to be a bloodbath. I think they're going to be close. Toronto and Toronto is the dream. You really want Toronto and Toronto. But and also, I think this Toronto team's just grown on me a lot. I really like the new team. The small rebuild they did. So
I think it's probably the best. Like, if you wanted to have the best competitive team that I think will make it to the playoffs and actually make waves, I think it will be Toronto. I think there is a world in which if London makes it to the playoffs, and let's say we do enter as Aya Meta and Reinhardt just gets fucking destroyed by the damage output, like, that's going to feel real bad that London just show up and they can't play. Maybe they would come in and make massive waves because Reinhardt would be goaded. It's hard to know, right? But, like, I think for competitive integrity, I think either Toronto, but I also think Vancouver, you can't count them out ever. Like, they could just go fucking nuclear at any moment on the back of, like, Sugar Freeze Genji.
I think it would be interesting if the meta swapped in London make it, because, like, would they even attempt to play meta, or would they? There's no way they would. I think they would just they had to have just come together and admit, they had to just admit that, like, guys, we're one tricks. Like, come on, like, let's just admit it. Let's get it over with. Like, we're fucking one tricks. Like, obviously we can play some other thing, but we're not gonna be winning the Overwatch League or anything else. So I don't know. I think, to me, I'm still in Toronto. I think Vancouver, with this new, now that they've leaned into the rush, they have a lot better chance. Honestly, they have a lot better chance now that they've leaned into the Lucio rush style. But Titans, to me, seems like, or Defiant seems like the most competitive across the board with, like, their current strength. Like, I think they have a unique factor going for them where, like, they do want to force this double flex support comp on certain maps, and it's good for them. Like, other teams, especially like London and Vancouver, will not be doing that. Shock won't be doing that, probably. Like, no, like, so, like, overall, like, they're going to be unique in that aspect where I think certain maps, their comp choice will be really strong. Other maps, their comp choice is going to struggle, but I think they have the player quality to make it work. And, like, it's clear that they're pretty coordinated too still. The most coordinated team right now out of those teams, though, is London, in my opinion. I think London is the most coordinated team just because of the nature of, like, how their comp works. Like, they clearly have the most effective, like, we're doing this, we're making this. Like, every move makes sense that they do in their comp, typically. Like, every single move is like, okay, this is a planned move that makes sense. But I think overall, like, they're still hampered by the fact that, like, they are only playing Reinhardt. No matter what, they're only playing Reinhardt sim. And, like, it is good. You can make it work, but you have to play perfectly all the time and hope that you don't get counterplayed with it, or else it loses, you know? Like, you don't have any flexibility. So, like, I think it's Defiant. Plus, Defiant doesn't miss out, like, on their, so far, out of what do we have? Like, we're 1-for-1 on them not missing out on their own events. So hopefully we can go 2-for-2, I think.
Yeah, I'd love to see Toronto there, but I think it's going to be London. That's my pick. It's going to be London. I think they'll do it.
That's it.
I think they'll make it happen.
It's possible.
Do we want to move over to the Eastern region? Had a lot of drama. Oh, yes. Had a lot of drama in the Eastern region. I think everyone was rooting for O2 Blast, but alas, they couldn't get the job done after Soul Infernal.
They got destroyed, actually. Like, wow, what? Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not a good look.
It was not a good look.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, people were hating on Belisaria for the majority of the season, and the guy just comes in, like, Super Saiyan 4.
Yeah.
Harry's tweet was out of control. Leg Day's tweet was out of control, but oh, that was so funny. Yeah. I'm not saying Belisaria didn't play well, but I laughed at this tweet. I don't know if Solomon's gonna bring it up, if they can find it. But it was essentially just like, that was a playoff profit performance by Belisaria on Orisa. And I was like,
oh god.
I was like, if you had a playoff profit carry performance on Orisa, you played Orisa pretty well. So yeah, Belisaria was talk of the town. This past weekend.
That match was legendary.
Profit Escability to go absolutely nutter butters in a bracket game.
That is fine. If,
I love you like that, but you tweet this about an Orisa player, I can't help but laugh.
Yeah, I can't take you seriously. I mean, Bell's Rion map fives in bracket games. Like, map fives too, he fucking always activates. Like, he just, like, his ass will feed out of control for the first parts of the series, and then it comes to map five, and he puts on like 50 pounds of pure muscle and just like goes crazy. Like it was a good game. It was a really good game. I mean, like, there's still Hopium for Dynasty. I'm a little upset because that was going to be the most fun if O2 Blast had made it. I think it would be really funny. So like, you know, Dynasty, not necessarily, they're not like, I don't know. Like, there's a chance, honestly, for Dynasty to make it. It would be pretty crazy. Like,
I was gonna say, what? You know, the, in my opinion, one of the biggest problems with O2 is that they one tricked the Jungle Queen Genji stuff too hard. Like, I get it. You
That's
have
always
who are
been
you
a
on
problem
team.
This season.
You have right. Who are you on your team? I understand, but when you look at other teams playing Jungle Queen, they're at least willing to look at Sebastian. They're looking. They're willing to look at other permutations. You know, let's play some Lucio Bap. Let's look at, you know, you can do the Lucio Curry version. You can change things up around this comp. Whereas O2 Blast, they will not. And so they will just play the one thing. They're like, we have one of the best Genjis in the world. You do. Great. But their comp is so one-dimensional. And when you have a Seoul Dynasty squad that's on point, where Balistria is playing the best Orisa that anyone's basically ever played in their lives, hitting every single skill shot, never missing a spare, his accuracy. I didn't have a stat for it, but I believe it was insane. Because like, you just see the spear come up in the kill feed time and time again. When you look at his POV, you're seeing some dude stuck to the wall. This guy canceled one of Huayu's ults as well. Huayu pulls blade, instantly stuck to a wall and killed. It was just like, how? And he throws the spear from halfway across the maps and landed on Huayu pulling the blade. It was unreal. So yeah, that happened. I don't know if we want to talk about Dallas Spark yet, because that was like another like major, major game.
And, you can talk about whatever you want, Errol.
Just I mean, Dallas,
go
Dallas,
absolutely
I'm
not their
to, Dallas, okay,
I this, people into this conversation, so I'm not just like
this game.
It's not
this
just
game
me.
Fucked me up because I have been the legendary, notorious Spark hater throughout the year. Notorious Spark, because I was big. I held the max amount of Spark coin. When Spark coin went on the blockchain, I was minting that shit. All my GPUs were mining 24/7. I was all about Spark, and then immediately the coin got rug pulled. And it was over. Like, it got rug pulled, and it was so done. And so I had been a notorious.
It's not about trading, Avaz. It's about investing. You gotta invest in the Spark, because their day will come.
Well,
it's inevitable. They're shy and leave. They have to be good at some point, right?
My investment crashed and burned. I thought the FTC and the SEC was shutting them down, and the exchange, the Spark coin exchange. So I was like, out.
I can explain this.
I believed in Fuel playoffs run. I believed in the Rush playoff run, and then this match happened.
I can explain this. This is what Avaz did. He bought Spark coin at its maximum height. When they were peaking in terms of like the hype and everyone's believing, that's when Avaz bought it. He didn't buy low, he bought high. That's the problem.
Spark dipped,
and then Avaz got really scared. Connor's like, I gotta sell that. I bought too high. Now I've got to sell. And now he's upset because he sold when they were low after buying high, and now the Spark have gone up. He's like, damn, I lost all the value I could have.
Except
had.
The thing is, I do think the Spark went up, but I still think it's also an issue of, like, Fuel themselves, like, did not... I mean, they didn't really bring it together this much. I thought they were going to do a lot, like, they're really going to get their shit together for this playoff play-ins and, like, this bracket here for towards the end of the year. And, like, they did a bit comparatively to the rest of the year, obviously. They had a huge increase in performance comparatively to the other rest of the year. But, like, I don't know. It's just, like, they got, like, they just got farmed. They just got farmed.
You know, I think they just lose the Spark. I think Dallas Fuel could be the second best team in APAC right now, but they just lose to Spark. When you look at the record, the head-to-head, Dallas have never beaten Spark this year. It's 0-4. They cannot beat the Spark. They will beat every other team. Fuel are good enough to take it down, everyone, but they can't beat the Spark. Something in that matchup, Fuel just can't handle it. And it's not close, particularly close either. They keep losing like 3-0s and stuff.
Yeah.
This is a 4-1. I don't know. I think Spark kind of threw Esperanza just like, who cares? push Omega Lel, go to next map. Yeah, they. I'm convinced Dallas probably would have beaten Seoul Dynasty. They would have beaten Seoul Infernal, but against the Spark, no. But I'm not even convinced Spark would be that. Like, I think they are better, but I don't think Spark could Giga Pound either of the Seoul teams. It's something about that specific matchup between Dallas and Spark. Something in there.
I think. I think Spark just has a good read on how Dallas wants to play the game. And I feel like you can see Gushue making the right swaps at the right time. Like, primarily Gushue just, like, doing tank swaps based on what the DPS of Dallas are playing. And it just doesn't feel like Dallas are ever playing with an advantage, right? Like, because Gushue is willing to go from, like, the Winston to the Doomfist, like, back and forth. And, like, I think Bastion just, like, hard fucks Winston. But then as soon as they go Bastion, it feels like they're up against a Doomfist at that point. And then there's, like, they're just getting out swapped. And there, you saw the one map where they looked good playing what they should play, but I don't know. I think Dallas are a good team. I expect them to make it through the bracket, but Spark are the kryptonite of Dallas. I agree in a lot of respects. I don't think you're going to see that level of flexibility from... Well, I don't think Charge or Shanghai are going to put up a fight, but the real interesting one, the only thing we need to really care about looking forward is Dallas versus... Soul Dynasty, right? Those are the two teams that are really have the opportunity to make it deep. And when was the last time we saw those two teams play? Have we seen them play in this meta?
Regular season, not this meta.
Yeah, I don't know if we've seen them play this meta, so I don't know how that's gonna go. Yeah, like Soul Dynasty played Dallas. They haven't played Dallas since May 13th.
Wow,
it's been a minute.
So we have no idea how this is gonna play out, especially in this this matchup. Like, maybe Dallas match up against an Orisa way better, right? Than everything that the Spark have been throwing at them. So the rock, paper, scissors sort of changes
Dynasty can play the mirror as well, but they probably lose the mirror because I think Dallas are way more practiced in the mirror. The Dynasty also plays Sim Bastion. Both teams love Sim Bastion. It's just that Dynasty play the Orisa version and Dallas play the Jungle Queen version. But ultimately, the DPS look the same. I think the supports mostly look the same. You just trade different tanks. In a weird way, it's kind of like... I was going to say it's like when Boston played London, but that's not true because Decay was on Genji the whole time. But yeah, that'll be a really, really super interesting match. I used to have concerns that Dallas were one-tricking a little bit too hard, but I think their mastery of the comp is so good. I love the way they just move Edison around the map, set up amazing angles for the Bastion. They always just show up with the Bastion in your face, turret mode at the ready. The TPs are really damn clean. Like, I'm surprised that Spark made the Winston work versus that, because you would have thought that Gushue playing Winston into Hanbin Jungle Queen, that should be suicide. It really should be suicide, and yet it wasn't. That was the most impressive thing about Gushue Winston, is that he even knows how to perfectly play his limits on a Winston versus, like, the best Jungle Queen. That's really incredible. So that's part of the other reason why I think Spark just made it overfuel. Like, you know it's bad when, like, even when they're playing Winston, like, Dallas feel Hanbin can't beat it down for some reason. Even Muse on Winston took a map away from Fuel on New Junk City. 3-0'd them, actually, playing Winston specifically. And that was kind of weird, but it worked.
Should Hanbin just be willing to switch to the Orisa? Like, if you go up against a Winston, don't you just go Orisa and just fucking javelin that shit every time they run in and like push them around?
The queen should be good,
but like then what's the issue with like? Should they have like a Bastion or something with more damage close by? Like I haven't watched this game too in depth. Like I was like watching this like at night.
They never have the bat because, like you said, Gushue always counterpicked. He played counterpick the whole time.
So every time they go Bastion, he goes Doomfist.
There was never a Winston versus Bastion. Oh yeah, Mung hit an insane series as well. And that's the other thing. You have to be willing to play the Ana to counter Hanbin.
Yeah,
you have to be willing to play the Ana to counter the Jungle Queen as well. I don't know if Dynasty are going to do that. They avoid in the back lines. Like actually, Void versus Hanbin and Junk Queen is one of my dream matchups. I really want to see that. But I don't know if Dynasty will be willing to pull through on that.
God, I want Spark. I really hope Spark shows up to playoffs and does well. If they don't, I'm going to be so
fucking historically mad. Done pretty well in playoffs, right? Like
they won a match. They won a match.
Last year, they got fourth.
That's not bad.
Yeah, they got fourth in the midseason. Usually,
it's their only tank. So. Yeah.
I just need them to show up and do well because then I can at least feel vindicated that they beat, like, I can at least feel not sad that they beat Fuel, right? Like, but if they show up and they shit the bed, I'm going to be so upset. One final letdown from Spark.
Well, you can blame somebody else for the letdown because the letdown will be Zarya meta and Gushue is like, well, Unlucky, guys.
Yeah, guys, we had a good run.
I mean, but that's even, I mean, that's just as bad then, because our fuel would have been fantastic.
Like, fuel honestly, probably make it. I think fuel probably make it, so they're
honestly,
right.
This is just going to be toxic towards Dallas fans, but that would be really funny. Like, that would be really funny if we end up in a hard Zarya meta and, like, Dallas just don't make, or, like, a Zarya Reaper meta, and then, like, you know, people have said this, but, like, Dallas and Shock both don't make it to a Zarya Reaper meta would be hilarious. Because, like, those two have been historically being, like, the best at those compositions.
Striker's ready, man. Striker's just waiting in the wings. It's like, it's my time. It's Reaper meta again, baby.
That's my guy.
Bro,
that's
my man's guy. About to get traded to Boston. He's going to go back to Boston for the playoffs.
They do an emergency trade.
To but play
the
thing Reaper.
Is, I don't even think they need to do that, because, like, they could play Smurf or Decay. Sorry, honestly.
But they should do it for the comedy.
If the comedy would be funny if they did that. The comedy would be very funny. All right. Well, I'm gonna tell
you guys.
If
Dallas don't make it, the ship hound bin to Houston.
I'm gonna tell you guys something tragic.
Okay. Yeah, I had one more thing on APAC, but you can go ahead.
I have to go.
Oh.
I have
oh really?
To leave. Something popped up. I have to leave for my actual job.
They found the third alien loot box, and he's got
yeah,
a third
yeah,
one.
Yeah, guys, I'm gonna see you guys
he's
all
gonna
in
go to Mexico.
Mexico.
He has to see with his own eyes.
I'm gonna be unboxing the aliens.
yeah.
So I'll see you guys then.
I don't think you'll miss too much.
Yeah,
no, I think we made most of the end. Pretty much, Spark, don't let me down. I think Fuel makes that a play-ins for APAC though. Bye bye.
Goodbye. Okay.
Solomon, do you want to put the 2 feet alien in a vast place in the webcam? Alien is joining us, not the Overwatch League player, or not the Overwatch player. So I have a question here. Avast obviously very emotional when it came to the Hangzhou Spark and you know investing in them apparently. But I feel like the other team that is almost more relevant when it comes to emotional roller coaster this season is the Seoul Dynasty. And now they actually have a legit chance of making the playoffs. With all the changes that have happened with Dynasty, I don't know if you remember, like Profit took like a little break there, players ins and outs. Would it feel a little bit fraudulent if the Seoul Dynasty qualified for playoffs?
All right, well, we need to be honest, okay? Avril, you're going to hate this, but APAC has been a fraudulent region this whole year. Overall,
you're right. I do hate
oh
that.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but with like they have some great players and they have great teams. Doesn't feel like we've ever seen it. And the biggest frustration that I've had watching APAC is the integration of the contenders team was cool, right? But the way it was executed, that there was just so much of a disparity between all the teams that I don't feel like I've ever had a good gauge of who's good and who's bad. You add that on top of the classic APAC where team like Seoul Dynasty decides to be good 1 week and then just tragically bad the next week. Like, how do you understand that? It's just been a little Mickey Mouse this year. So
why do people downplay Spark and Infernal and their results versus Mayhem, by the way? Like, are we like being revisionist about Mayhem being good or something, or are we just saying Mayhem was bad back then?
Mayhem wasn't that good back then. Like they really hit their stride this stage. Like they were good. They were like third, fourth, right? Like they were the probably fourth best team in the West.
That's good.
And they
is that not
just
good?
And they beat Florida. Yeah, congratulations. You're the fourth best. Their top team is the fourth best in the West.
So they're hanging out with top four in the West. Is that not a good?
One of the teams. Yeah, sure. But like
Infernal went to five with Mayhem. Like they. They're hanging in the top four ish.
They're out here, yeah.
Was actually expecting them to beat Rain in Houston? Not even me. I wasn't expected. No one was expecting them to beat Rain in Houston. It was all about whether they compete against third and fourth. I think they did. So what's the issue?
What do you mean? Like, okay, yeah. So the East is a worse region than the West. That's what I'm saying.
Worse than the top two teams. Is the West just Rain and Houston? Are those
What the fuck? You think I'm including Vegas in the when I'm talking about the West? Hell no.
Yes, you have to fucking include
Vegas. We don't claim them.
Because you include Shanghai in the East, so you have to fucking include
Vegas.
No, I don't.
I don't consider Guangzhou, Chengdu, or Shanghai because Chengdu don't even exist. I don't consider them anymore. They're not a part. There are only four teams in the East. And there's like seven teams in the West.
In your mind, the Overwatch League is like eight teams, and it's all the playoffs teams and the other teams.
Yeah, everyone else gave up.
Actually, just eight teams.
Everyone else gave up. I don't know what you want from me.
Among the eight teams, I think Spark are competitive among those eight teams. Like they're hanging. They're in that.
I agree.
So I don't see
in the right meta, as I said. But you can't say that they haven't been a lot worse as a region.
Yeah, they fluctuated. The teams have fluctuated.
Okay, so we're in agreement. I don't understand what the problem is.
No, but well, the problem is I think people being a little too revisionist about midseason.
fucking alien just kills me. Oh my god.
Oh god. The thing about the alien is it looks like, I mean, obviously it's dead, but it looks like I'm dead. Like, I'm fucking
so
dead,
weeded
guys.
Out.
I'm so dead.
Freeze
guys.
Pipe.
Freeze pipe.
One hit of freeze pipe is what that looks like.
Oh my god. Oh, okay, well, all right. Discussing mid-season madness is one thing, but we don't need to do a full conversation about this, but just like gut feel. How competitive do you feel like the APAC teams would be in the playoffs, like right now? And I'm not saying against Atlanta Reign, Houston Outlaws, Florida Mayhem, but like if you had Hangzhou Spark, Seoul Infernal qualified, I guess, go up against the likes of Boston Uprising, Toronto Defiant, do you feel like they would still like, you know, compete for top four spots, stuff like that? How do you feel about them? What's the gut check?
If we played on this patch, I think they'd be much more competitive. We're on the next patch, which we probably are. I think Spark get nerfed. But it depends how strong Zarya is, man. Depends how much Zarya is a meta. The more Zarya is a meta,
the more
Spark are going to be. That's just going to be the reality. I think Infernal suffer as well because Zarya's never been one of Mag's strong heroes. So, like, yeah, legitimately right now, this patch is way better for both Infernal and Spark than the next one would be. But then again, you have Hanbin. So if Dallas make it through, then maybe Dallas could be like, you know, the torchbearer.
What's the Belisrear Zarya like?
Well, you void, right?
Void for that. You got Void for
that. No, yeah, no, Void can't make it, sorry.
Void can't
the
make
Belisrear
it.
You're just forcing it down our throat, just like they have Void an off tank player, Gusta.
We had milk carton saying, have you seen this man for fucking the entire year of Void? Yeah, he finally came out of the woodwork. You think that man's flying to Toronto? It's 50-50 at this point.
Dude, Houston are signing like Bernard or something. They're like, sorry, Fearless. One of the best of all time. Sorry, bud. You're benched. Like, they're over it.
You are desperate when Bernard is your option. Like, he's fine.
He
hasn't played for a year. Bernard's been gone for a full year.
I thought that you couldn't sign anyone anymore. Is the rule that you can sign anyone who's a completely free agent?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't know the rules anymore.
Because it seems weird that you can pick someone up for just the playoffs. That seems like a really, really weird system in my eyes,
it's the only way Striking can make it back to Boston in time, so.
Yeah. They're gonna set precedent before they start trying to pull this shit off.
Like, I don't know the rules. One last thing I want to say about the APAC situation is, people are playing both sides of the contender situation. You cannot say, I'm not saying you, I'm just saying generally people cannot say, oh, yeah, Apex bad, not enough teams, and then complain when there's more teams added. It's like, what do you want? Do you want there to be less teams or more teams? And people seem to be upset both ways. They're upset there's less teams, and they're upset there's more teams. It's just a very strange situation.
I think a lot of people have the frustration that I do is like, I would love to have seen these contenders, like, and obviously this is a hard thing to solve, but I would love to have seen the contenders teams be able to stay together and then continue to build their own narrative and storylines, because it feels like these teams have just been gutted throughout the year. And then, like, the team doesn't look anything like
NA
it
teams,
to.
By the way. Ironically, a lot of NA teams picked up those members. So
yeah, and that's
I thoroughly enjoyed all the first half of the year shit talk about how bad APAC was. And then you see all these teams end up picking up contenders, career players to bolster their rosters, and then vastly improving teams like Toronto, by the way.
Yeah, the West are great, right? See, we're just the best Commander Conquer,
really
baby.
I just thought it was really funny. It's like, oh, the well's dried, the famous line by people. I won't name him. He knows who he is. The well's dried up. Meanwhile, another 5 to 10 players got picked up in the midseason. Real funny. Well, well's apparently dried up, fellas. Haven't heard that one before.
Solomon, I know you're busy photoshopping this alien into a vast room with a vast mic, but I...
That is good. That is really good. That is really good. You gotta remove the shoulder. You can see the left shoulder of a vast...
Oh my god.
Yo,
what
when
is
about say his
face? That needs to go on Twitter.
That's good. That guarantee is good. That's solid.
I was going, I needed your help, Solomon. I need you to pull up Suravasa between Soul Infernal and who was it? Stolen Fern and Lotus Bass probably on Suravasa. And we're gonna play a game. We're gonna play a game, Custom Abra. We're gonna play a game.
Okay.
It's called, it's called Love It or Hate It.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we only have one entry into the game. Usually for game shows, there are multiple entries and it takes a while. This is a 2-minute segment because it has one entry. We're gonna play Love It or Hate It, Soul Infernals, ball composition on Suravasa.
Oh, this fucking composition, bro. If I see... Wait, are we talking about Mag?
No. Soul Infernal.
If I have to watch Mag play one more fucking minute of Wrecking Ball that just gets negative value and the rest of his team just gets absolutely stomped. Like, I don't know who cooked this composition up, but it was... Like, it just didn't work, ever. And it was... I just don't know what they were cooking here. I want to see it again. I want to see it because I mulled about
this. Was that the whole clip?
Yesterday.
Was there more? Or was that the whole clip?
Well, no. We need to get the proper Soul Infernal clip going.
It's the Soul. Yeah, it's the Soul Dynasty Soul Infernal, versus.
It's Soul to Blast, right?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember.
Soul to Blast. Yeah, they did. They played. Soul to Blast played. What I didn't like, I don't like the amount of ball that we're seeing on Dorado. I feel like that's weird.
You sure it's not Soul Dynasty, Soul Infernal, New Junk City? He played Wrecking Ball in there. And they played Wrecking Ball, Bastion.
Oh, it was New Junk City. Yes.
Oh my god.
I have it up. They played Wrecking Ball, Tracer, Bastion, Baptiste, Kiriko, and tried to play Wrecking Ball. And Void just goes Doomfist and just fucking shits all over the Infernal.
Those are five heroes you can pick in Overwatch.
It's literally my ranked game where I join in, one of my teammates plays, says, yo, I'm playing Bastion, and my main tank goes, fuck it, I don't care either, I'm gonna play Wrecking Ball. And then everyone just plays their own fucking game, nobody does anything together, and you just fucking lose.
This looks like a game where you end up with a Bastion 1 trigger.
Yeah. Just replace M3's name with Bastion main and we're on the West servers. Honestly, this is exactly what's going on.
So we can agree NA ranked is worse than career ranked. That's good.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Not arguing there.
So the answer is I hate it, but the way I try and justify this comment, if I put myself in the brain of Soul Infernal, why would they play this? I've seen variations where you play like an Alari BAP instead. And so the game plan is that you play like three snipers, a hit scan. Okay, Bastion's not a sniper. I'm trying to work this through here. You play three hit scan type of snipers, two flex supports, and a DPS hit scan. And then you have Tracer ball. The ball goes and slams and pile drives. And then the three hit scans shoot the pile drive target. That's supposed to be the game plan.
The problem that runs into, which Soul Dynasty does a great job of, if you just run at the Baptiste, like if you push away the ball one time and then you run at the Baptiste or TP in the Baptiste for this example, they just fucking die. And also, one of the major issues they run into is Void goes Doomfist. And what on the Soul Infernal composition has anything to deal with a Doomfist? He literally just plays the game for free. He gets an empowered punch off of the Bastion, then punches into the backline, just fucking murders people. And then Mag just like doesn't do anything. Like it has some validity here and there when like every now and then everything, the stars align. But outside of that, it just feeds. And they don't just do it on this map. They do it on multiple maps in this series.
I will say that in the world where Mag gets a good slam on a Bastion, like I can see the value versus Bastion because Bastion suffers versus flanks. You can't look everywhere at once. Tracer's really good at Bastion as well. Huge target, easy pulse bomb stick, etc. Right? Good, really good stuff. But I think what you're saying is like that actually happens a lot where Void just outplays Mag and Void just outplays the entire comp and doesn't care. Does Easy Han maybe suffer a little bit in this matchup? Probably. But the rest of Soul Dynasty just don't care. And they win.
I don't know. It gave me shades of 2021 Washington Justice where I'm having to watch Mag just roll around on Wrecking Ball and they accomplish absolutely nothing. So it kind of like, it invoked the negativity of the 2021 Washington Justice into me. So I sort of just saw red for a little bit.
It's team colors red. So
yeah, it's true. It's pretty much the same team. Where's Decay?
So we both hate it. So the game, so I don't know how the game works, but we both hate it.
Yeah. For the first time of all of today's show, me and Avril are in agreement. We hate it.
Oh, I think we've been we're in agreement all the time on a lot of things, actually.
Yeah,
so
that's true. That's true.
What do you think of Est? Great. True. Thank you so much, Abbas. Cool. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for extra terrestrial knowledge. Appreciate it. Very smart. All right. That was the game. Love it or hate it. Soul Infernals. Composition on the... We're playing the Wrecking Ball. I hate it. I don't think we have too much to cover. It's a short episode today. We have play-ins week 2 coming up here. And then I think next week we'll play a little bit game as well to fill. And the playoff episode, I don't know, because we're flying to Toronto that week. So I don't know when that will happen. Maybe we'll record it before. Wow, this is a tough one. It's a tough one, lads.
Easy.
Solomon playing on the side.
Where is producing. That website? What's the link to that?
I don't know what the link is to. I can get it. Oh, well, actually, Solomon can give it to you. But it's a fun game. Yeah.
We'll play that next week. So
when we run out of content,
That'll take the whole episode.
It'll take hours. Yeah, like it took me like an hour and a half to do it alone.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did a trial run.
We're going to have to speed run that.
And yeah. I had to sell myself to make it further through the bracket time and time again. It was hard.
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in the offseason. We might have to make episodes like every other week. Like, I don't know where our content's going to come from. I have no idea. Well, I mean, we'll see with Overwatch news, but yeah, I don't think it's going to be a lot of stuff lying around. We'll see.
I'm forcing Chipster to the end. Chipster's getting the championship.
No, Shawfall made it to the round of 32 in mind because he just kept getting the world's the easiest matchups.
Oh,
in the entire,
easy bracket.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. We got the World Cup. That's true. That's true, Megalass. Can't forget about the World Cup. That's going to be pretty hype. But still, that's like a 1 month break between the Grand Finals and the World Cup. Can only talk about the World Cup so much. So, there you go. All right, you want to do Avast
player of the week? Player of the week. Avast, who's your player of the week? Let us know. Yo! Free spy, baby!
They're not even sponsor our show anymore. They're just, oh my god.
We're giving Avast them free shout-outs at the stage.
Okay, at this point, it doesn't have to go to the Mexican scientific community. It has to go to the Mexican scientific community, right?
It said the Mexican government unveiled an alien corpse. I don't know who specifically.
It had to have been the scientific community. They deserve props. Johnny?
Yeah. Fuck it.
Give it to the aliens. Let's go, aliens.
Yeah. There we go. Congrats. Mexico, the government of Mexico. Congratulations.
You did it.
Mexico.
A lot of strange things to unpack. Thank you, Linus.
Unbox not one, but two aliens.
Wait, they have two aliens. Oh, is this the hand?
We're not watching this video again.
Wait, there's two aliens? Oh, I didn't realize there was two.
And we're not watching this video again.
This is like the video of the CSGO streamer who got two knives in a row. Unboxed.
Wait, really? I've never seen that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That must be so rare.
It is. Just like getting two aliens in a row is quite rare as well.
Yeah, that is rare.
Like, how many countries have gotten two aliens in a row? Really? Not very many.
Not very many. All right. Thank you guys for another quick episode of Plat Chat. It was a fun one. Thank you, Avril, Custa, Avast. Custa, you gonna go stream?
Yeah, I'm gonna stream.
Yeah, it was real Trim smart Zarya. To eat during nice. The episode, so don't have to do it.
Yeah, see, I honestly was channeling my Bren. You know, I was like, should I eat on stream? And I was like, you know what? Bren used to do it. We haven't had eating on stream enough these
That's
days.
That's true.
You know, we take vibe. Ourselves too seriously, right, Avast?
Exactly. Thank you, Avast.
Get us the fuck
Thank
out you. Of here.
All right. Avril, going back to bed?
I'm going to bed. I stayed up with us. That's why I make sure
okay.
I died.
Okay, thank I you for staying slept. Up for us. We appreciate you, Avril.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good night's sleep. All right. Thank you from us at Plat Chat and the aliens and Solomon. We'll see you next week for episode 195 on Plat Chat. Take care, everyone.